Oh, wait, hold on.
Welcome to the bonus level.
What is going on, everybody, and welcome back to the Bonus Level Podcast. And that was on purpose, I promise. You're asking yourself, what was that? What were those lucid tones hitting my eardrum? And the answer is, it is Game of Thrones week. And yeah. This week, on this level, we will be covering all things Game of Thrones leading up into the brand new season that starts in 4 days now, right? Four to Sunday.
Is it four? Thursday,
Friday. Yeah, four. After when this comes out, it'll be 4 days.
Yeah.
Do you have that by the hour and minute?
No, I do not. But the long anticipated return of one of arguably the better shows of all time, one of the most frustrating and annoying shows of all times. So we thought it would be only appropriate to have a Game of Thrones episode. And if you're wondering who we are, because I didn't do the intro like we normally do, this was completely just random. These guys didn't even know what was happening. They were like, what is that? And I just want you guys to know that I chose the 8-bit version of the theme song because I thought that had a lot less chance of being copyrighted than the real one.
Smart move.
They'll come after anybody, even a 20 subscriber based YouTube channel.
So anyways, if you're new around here, this is a Bonus Level Podcast. I am Jack. I'm joined as usual by Josh and Luch, and level 26 we will be tackling the Night King, and he'll be the final boss. So we thought, he's awesome. He's gonna be the only one standing at the end of the season. So anyway, what is this? This is gonna be season 8, the final season,
episode 1. And as of this very second, we're at 4 days, 23 hours, 15 minutes, and 47 seconds.
But whenever this comes out tomorrow, we'll be closer to 4 days.
Yeah, we'll tweet just it. 4 days. We'll tweet it.
So we thought we'd talk about all things Game of Thrones, whether it's characters, moments, good things, bad things, theories, speculations, comments, concerns. And I wanted to kick it off by having each of you tell me who your favorite character is.
Throughout the entire
show.
Alive and dead. Alive and dead. Or dead.
All right. Well, all right, we'll break it down like this. All right. Give me your favorite character. Alive or dead. So okay, it could be somebody that's dead, but also could be alive. And then we'll just go with just alive right now.
All right. I will go first. Mm-hmm. I freaking love Tormund Giantsbane.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Tormund is awesome. That he is such an awesome character that I would love to see him get more screen time. Every scene that he's in, he steals the whole scene. He's freaking amazing.
I mean, he's a great actor, period.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's Baileys.
Baileys. So that's your all-time favorite?
I think so. I mean, it's with how little that he's actually been in the show, if I had to go back and rewatch it, I'd probably be like, 3 seasons into it going like, man, my favorite character still hasn't shown up yet. You kind of bummed, but like, as far as when someone makes an appearance on the scene that you're guaranteed to see me smiling, it's going to be him. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. What about you, Luch?
It's such a, like a open-ended question for
it. Is.
You know, I would probably I would probably have to give it to Arya right now.
Arya? Really?
I mean, dude, man, like I literally the goosebumps like encircled my body when that fight scene between her and Brienne that sparring. I was like, I was like, oh my god, we got a Jedi. And then dead. I would have to give it to the Viper, even though he did not deserve to die that way.
That was just, in my opinion, very shitty writing.
Oh yes, absolutely. They're like, really?
I'm sorry.
How did you kill your Viper?
Yeah. Talking about one of the greatest swordsmen right in the realms. Everybody knows about him. Spear masters in the realms, and he just decides after, you know, basically winning this really important, you know, for somebody's life fight, that he's going to dance and taunt around him.
Yes.
Instead of just finishing him off or walking away.
I thought that was perfect. And like, as far as writing goes, this is why I don't feel like it was lazy writing, was the fact of, in a 1 hour episode, you met this character, fell in love with him, watched him die in an insanely brutal way.
He was around for longer than one episode.
No, it's like one episode.
No. What do you mean? It was like half the season, because he shows up there with a vendetta.
Yeah.
And then Tyrion like gets like indicted, and then he fights for him.
Maybe one and a half episodes. He was barely there. You fall in love with this
half
guy,
a season,
and then your heart gets ripped out when he dies. That like everyone, we're still talking about that moment today. It was such an insane, like scene. Like, it caught everybody off guard. I don't think anyone was expecting it. That's what I think was really good.
But that doesn't mean it's good writing just because it's unexpected. That just means it's unexpected.
The guy danced circles around him, and then like. I understand he wasn't fighting for, you know, Tyrion's sake. He was just trying to get away to fight the mountain, you know?
Yeah.
But again, like, still, like, the guy was literally
It would have made more sense if he just got his ass beat by the mountain.
Oh, by the way, let's just poison the mountain, too, with the deadliest poison on the planet, and then let's turn him into a zombie monster.
Anyways.
Because the queen wouldn't have any other powerful allies. Unless, you know.
So Arya is your favorite alive. The Viper is your favorite that's dead. Josh, did you say one that was alive? Or did you say one?
I just said one.
Okay. What about somebody that's dead? Since you went with one that's alive.
Ramsay. Ramsay.
Of course.
Was an incredible, like, character on the show, just in so many aspects, like such an evil person, was sitting there probably like in the writer's room, and they probably had this big table and everyone's bouncing ideas off and go, okay, so in this scene, Ramsay walks into the room, what are we going to have him do? And someone's like, ooh, I have an evil idea. Let's make him do this. And so it's like, no, we can go more evil. Let's have him do this. And then it just kept going and going, like, where I would see him walk into a room and go, okay, what's the most evil thing that he would do? And he would top that. He would pull something out of his back pocket. I'm like, oh my God, I wasn't even expecting that. That was ingenious. Like,
did anybody else so his good. Nutsack hurt when they saw him pull out that knife?
Oh, the flaying knife?
Yeah.
Oh, he's just, he was a perfect villain.
Yeah.
He was a great villain. No, but I have to give it to Joffrey for acting, though. I've never hated a character more than Joffrey.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. This show gives you a whole new meaning of loathing.
Yes.
Loathing people, where you just hate them. And the ones you hate stay alive, and the ones you love die. And it's just an over and over kind of struggle. For me, character wise, right? So obviously there's like all of the main favorites, but if you really like watch the show and listen to the people's dialogue, there's a lot of whiners in this show. There's a lot of people that are just really annoying and just like always complaining. Like, the way that their character is written. Like, for instance, is anybody else just super annoyed with Daenerys? Like, most of the time.
Oh yeah.
Like, every time she's introduced,
wise words from her,
every time she's introduced, she has like a 30 second long title. Daenerys Stormborn, the mother of dragons, the breaker of chains, the unburnt. It's like, and it just goes and then goes and it keeps going and going. And you're just like, okay, we get it. God. But no, my favorite, one of my favorite characters that's alive is definitely Bronn.
Mm-hmm.
Bronn is awesome.
I don't know. He was kind of a dick in the last season.
Doesn't matter. He's awesome.
Well, it's because he reached that level of intelligence.
You know why I love Bron? He knows his limits. He's like, I ain't fighting that shit. I'm going to lose.
He's awesome. Yeah. Bron is awesome. Also, I really like the Hound.
The Hound, that was someone else that I was going to, like, the side characters, the ones that aren't, you know, people wouldn't consider the main ones, like Jon Snow and, you know, Daenerys or Arya, like, those kind of people are freaking great in this. I mean, whether you're looking at, like, Bronn has been a fantastic character throughout this whole thing. You know, Gendry's a cool character, like I said, Gendry's with Tormund, awesome. You know,
Davos,
the Hound. Like,
Sir Davos Seaworth is amazing as well. Yeah.
Those like side characters are cool as hell, like without having to be the main characters, which I think is super fun.
I think, but ultimately my favorite character is the Night King.
he is pretty dope.
Edgelord right here.
I just think that the level of intrigue and mystery surrounding like the White Walkers and like the Night King and all of that is just absolutely, I mean, I don't know. It's just very well done. Like, because you don't really, like, you know about them, but then again, it's just like, you know, whenever they got the dragon and, you know, it's just like, oh, what is it going to do? And it shoots out the blue fire instead of regular fire. You're just like, holy shit.
Yeah,
when they drug it out of the ice and then like the final shot of that episode and it's just like its eye turns to blue. You're like, I called that shit so hard.
Well, that was what this show has been so good at, is just at the end of an episode having you literally either gasp or your jaw be wide open, going, oh my God, I can't wait to see what's happening next week. You're getting on social media. You're going, did everyone see that shit? That was crazy. Yeah, yeah. You know, that I like that about, I like a show that brings dialogue with other people. There's too much crap on TV that you could watch for yourself and go, hey, did anyone see that show? And everyone's like, no. It's like, yeah, well, you didn't really miss much because like these two people talked and then they had cake and there's a couple jokes and that was it. Like this show blows your freaking mind.
Most annoying thing on social media. What's this Game of Thrones show? I've never seen it.
Or the meme is like, I'm one of the 1% that's never seen Game of Thrones.
I'm so not mainstream.
And at this point, it's just like you're only not watching it on purpose so that you can say that you've never seen it.
Yeah.
But when in reality, you're like, oh man, I bet it's really good.
Yeah. Well, see, what was funny is I was actually introduced to it back in college. And for those of you that know me, I went to college long before the show actually came out. That I had friends that were reading the books and they were discussing the books. And I was sitting here listening to two people discuss the Game of Thrones storyline without never reading the books. Never, you know, of course the show wasn't out or anything. So I was like, what the hell are these? What are they talking about? This sounds terrible. There's like incest and murder and they're like joking about this. And then like, you know, I saw the very first promo that HBO did for Game of Thrones, and I immediately called those friends. I was like, dude, they're making your book into like a movie, because they just kept talking about it and raving. It was such an awesome book. Like, it was just hilarious that, you know, it turned into something this big. That
finally caught on. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And now it has gone to the part where, like, he just won't write anymore. So it's past the books, and it's just doing its own thing at this point.
Well, and so I have a question for you guys. On something as big as this, do you think that a one-person writer could fulfill the needs of so many people? Like, has this thing grown to a place that he can't finish it himself, that he has to have a team of writers?
No, but it doesn't matter, because at the soonest – so, like, when you have a written publication of something that's – the TV show is being – or movie is being based off of, they take the script, the story, you know, the overall arc, and they work it, and then it's like loosely based on that or whatever, and they add stuff in. Once it goes past the point of like there is no more writing for this part, like he writes up to season 4 and then now the writers are making shows based on the story arcs that have happened so far, there is no coming back from that. There is no like going back to a single writer. Now, if he would have written, you know, the next one, whatever it is, I don't remember what the next one is, but the Winds of Winter or something like that. If he had written that already, and then they were doing the show based on that, then the show is completely different because they're deviating from it. But mm-hmm. at the same time, it's all based on one person's writing and point of view. Now it doesn't, I mean, there's no comparison. They have us on an entire team. They have all of these story arcs going different directions.
Yeah.
All of these things exactly. that he probably never even, you know.
Oh, he's probably raging right now. He's like, this isn't what I intended. I intended is for Reek to become
whatever.
King.
He is swimming in horrors like Tyrion right now off of all this money he just made.
Yeah,
like it,
you guys,
he should be doing nothing other than drinking and fucking right now.
Did you guys ever see the video of like what the character should actually look like?
No.
Yeah, based on what the book
yeah,
is.
Like, yeah, like Tyrion's actually like super pale, has got silver hair and is like two different colored eyes and is like super ugly. He is not, but Tyrion's like the god of, you know, like short people. I'm sorry. Well, he's the most handsome man in the world.
Dude, freaking Dinklage knocked it out of the park. Like, he has played this role.
And he was godly
so
and
freaking well.
And like, he fucking killed it in Game of Thrones. Yeah. Guaranteed that's why they pulled him. It's because of Elf.
He's played this character so well. It's such a lovable character. The writing for him is fantastic. We're like, think about it. If he had been in Joffrey's role, you know, even if he had killed the role, I don't think people would have loved him. But his character is such a good, lovable character. He's hated by his family, so he's trying to do his own thing, but then he also doesn't give a fuck, so all he's doing is like banging and drinking, you know, like he's just awesome. Like, that's all there is to it.
Yeah. The casting, right? We always talk about like choices for TV shows and things. I feel like they've done a really solid job, even though, right, that we're talking about the difference in appearance from the book, but casting for personality wise, I mean, I feel like, you know, at the beginning it was a little bit more low budget, right? So they have to pick these people like that aren't really stars, but a lot of these actors, actresses, you know, are really, you know, now you're seeing them, you're like, oh, that's so-and-so from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Right?
Whereas before it was like, oh, that's that person. They're going to cast him in this show, Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? It's like the opposite now.
Well, and I think that some of them were like, you know, British actors and stuff that may have been more popular over there, but just not here, you know, in the US, which as far as US viewership, I think that stuff is awesome because like if this whole cast was made up of like John Travolta was Jon Snow and Halle Berry was Daenerys and stuff like to me, that kind of stuff killed
way too distracting.
Just like I can't go, I can't jump into that realm with them, you know, where like having these characters, they are such believable characters to me because really I don't think that I had seen many of them in a like very few other roles before this.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's definitely a lot easier to stay in like story, like to be engaged in the story whenever the person you're looking at like isn't pulling you to whatever they've been in before. Like, well, that's like watching, you know, Steve Carell, right, in something else. Like, he's a great actor, but it's a lot, it's really hard. Like, Nicole was watching a show or was it a movie? I think a movie, like Steve Carell's like Beautiful Boy, I guess it's like a drama or something like that. And she said he's such a good actor that, you know, it's really believable for him, like for him to not be seen as Michael Scott or from as Brick from Anchorman until he yells.
Yeah.
And as soon as he yells like or like raises his voice, you just immediately only think of him as Brick, right?
Yes.
And so it's like one of those things where it's like, yeah, he's such a great actor. He can like really pull you in. And then he starts yelling and you're like, oh, God.
Where did you get a grenade?
Yep.
I haven't tried it.
Yeah. I don't know what we're yelling about. But anyway, but it's that thing, right? Like it's the if you can watch somebody and see their character and not see them as an actor, it's a completely different experience for the viewer. Yeah.
And I mean, and I love
Tyrion needs to keep that look, man, because he hot.
Super cool. I was gonna say, like, I love what this show has done for these guys, where like Jason Momoa especially. Like, that dude has catapulted into,
oh, yeah.
I mean, a freaking superhero movie. Like, that's like as popular gets at this point.
Sure.
They've all been doing really, really well from it, which is very exciting.
Yeah. Going back to kind of like our favorites though, mm-hmm. is there like a moment, a single moment in the show that really sticks out to you that you're just like, man, that moment was so awesome. It's my favorite, yada, yada.
The only thing I can say is, you know, a lot of people say like they realized what this kind of show was when Ned Stark died.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of like cemented like, you know, that this show plays, you know, no favorites. Anybody mm-hmm. is susceptible to die. However, I think it was the death before that. And I think I talked about this with you, Jack, is Ned's right-hand man.
Oh, yeah.
His killed outside the brothel.
His like steward.
They like, just get stuck. Yeah. Like, and a lot of people ignore that scene. But I'm like, guys, like Jamie meets him outside with men. And then his men just annihilate his entire entourage. And Jamie just like, you know, duels the guy. And I'm like, oh, he's putting up a fight. Maybe, you know, punch him in the face. No, he gets a fucking dagger into the eyeball. And mm-hmm. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, damn.
Yeah.
Oh, and the butcher's kid.
Oh, remember? Yeah. When he just like, he just goes and kills him.
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
Is that what sticks out to you the most though?
Yeah. Was his right-hand man dying? That was kind of like, okay, what's going on here type of thing.
Yeah. In that same vein, whenever Ned died at the end of that episode, you know, when they swing the sword, right? Like they show him there. He's kind of there. He's resigned himself to the fact that it's like it's going to happen. And then like the executioner swings the sword, but then they cut the episode. Like that was it. Mm-hmm. And you're just thinking, all right, cool. So like, how is he going to, they're going to start the next episode with him like getting out of the way yeah. or like, you know, the sword's going to swing down and like, yeah, like the sword's going to swing down in front and he's not going to actually like cut him off.
See his head on
literally. Literally the very next episode is just like the flashback of it. And you just see, you know, his head just dunk, 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 dunk. Bounce, you're just like, wait, what?
Let's not forget that he's a warg and he looked at an eagle and turned into the eagle.
Oh, now we're going towards the fan theories, right?
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. We'll get to that later.
I totally don't believe that, guys. By the way, Ned's dead. He did.
Yeah, so it's interesting though because I don't think that that's not the scene that's like, because I know that that's one that you said that stuck out to you, his you know, his steward like getting killed or whatever, but I'm talking about like a moment that's your favorite. Like what is a scene a moment that's like your absolute favorite that like sticks out to you that you're just like, oh my gosh, that was so cool.
The Brienne and Arya fight scene. It showed that Arya can whoop ass. And yeah, I think she's the best fighter in the show now.
Mm.
I think she's like, the best fighter.
She's like 4 foot tall.
She is, but she's nimble. And she could have killed Brienne like twice. And Brienne could have killed her once. And Brienne's strong as hell. And she and you know, her and the mountain can duke it out. But Arya's badass. Are you whooping ass?
There's so many like other like really cool moments though.
Lady Olenna just like, by the way, put sunglasses on. Twas me.
Cersei, I want her to know.
Yeah. That was
I want her to know that it was me. Yeah.
Dude, how would you have felt like if she was like, I want Cersei to know, and then she drinks it, and then he's like, it was me. But then nothing happened. And then Jamie's like, that was just water.
Yeah.
And then she's he like, just took
it's like, <"Earth> bamboozle.
Yeah.
The Red Wedding was just unbelievably hard to watch.
Oh, my God, yeah.
From start to finish, that knife slit
from
man. No, not even that. Like, not even the knife slit. Like, the, you know, the Lannisters send their regards. That like, cut into the side was his wife. It was the pregnant belly being stabbed. Like it was just like there was just no holds barred. They didn't pan you away and like let you hear it or like let you assume. Like they just pan down and it's just like stab, 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 and just you're like, what is going on? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God,
really brutal.
This isn't one of my favorite scenes, but I had a scene like that where I couldn't like it just didn't make me want to watch it. It was that scene where Tyrion sent the two whores to Joffrey's bedroom.
Oh yeah,
and made him torture, and then he made him like beat her with the statue.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, I couldn't. I was like, what?
That was yeah, that's crazy. Brutal.
You just heard the thunk, the
dunk. Uh-huh. Yeah. That was brutal. Whenever the dragon burns the wall down, spoiler alert, with the blue fire, bro.
Yeah.
That scene was nuts.
Is insane.
That made me so upset. I can't believe that's how the wall fell.
That's dope, man. It was really cool. It was really awesome.
How else are you going to knock down a wall like that other than a giant undead dragon?
So let me ask you this then.
Yeah.
Are you guys familiar with any of the parts from the books?
No, I have not read any of the books.
So there's one thing that a couple things that I really wish they included. So Catelyn Stark, Mama Stark, gets resurrected by the Brotherhood. They find her body floating in the river. And yeah, it's super decayed. And then they resurrect her as a Lady Stoneheart.
Yeah.
And she's like, looks like a zombie. She wears a white outfit. She looks creepy as fuck. And she goes on a murderous rampage because they think they killed her family. Right.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's one of the coolest characters. Like, that's like that's when I feel Catelyn would have, you know, made gray was being freaking Lady Stoneheart. But they took that out. Yeah. And I was like, oh my.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, another moment, right, was in the episode, the Battle of the Bastards, whenever John, after they kill his brother, he runs out to the middle of the field.
Dude,
and then like the whole
entire like, all the horses coming. Scene, that like 15 minute battle. I think my jaw was on the ground and I was just looking at it going,
I was so claustrophobic that entire time.
It was like really hard to watch. Incredibly
done. And when John's just like approaching him and he's just firing the arrows at him and John's just like blocking him with the shield.
Oh, see, I was going to even start it off though when Ramsay's firing the arrows going, all right, run. And he's like just randomly shooting the arrows in the sky.
Was anybody not screaming serpentine?
How do you not have a bob and weave? He's running in a straight line. Ramsay seeing arrows coming down
the whole time.
And obviously Ramsay was messing with him because he's like a master archer. And I'm like, bro, like you could have ran to the side. You could have freaking like, you know,
just like take a step to the left.
Not getting away from my boy.
And then when John was motion. With pulls out his sword and then in front of like
all those horses like slow motion coming in. It was very well done, like cinematically, very well shot.
It was freaking incredible. Like to this day, one of the best things I've ever seen.
You know what really pissed me off? You know what really fucking pissed me off? Sir Arthur Dayne's fight scene.
Sir Arthur Dayne's fight. Oh.
The two sword wielder. He was whooping ass. He whooped everyone's ass and then he gets stabbed in the back. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me, bro? You literally went, you know, Jedi dual wielding lightsaber, blocking everybody's swords and just ding, 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 ding. And not to mention, he was a suave, rugged, you know, he handsome.
He was a bad guy. Yeah. I'm noticing an overall theme to this episode, though. You're just finding all of the men attractive, and it's concerning.
Is it wrong, though?
It's not saying it's wrong. It's just it's concerning.
Is it wrong? It's Game of Thrones, man. They all got the, you know, like, my name's Jon Snow. And, you know, they all got the voice. They all got the rugged beard. They all got the long, wavy, curly hair. And, you know, it's like Kit Harington.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
Chris Pratt, Ryan Reynolds. Come on. Come on, guys.
Okay. All right. I don't know what's happening right now.
Favorite moments I want to know if you got. There's two of them with Tormund Giantsbane. One of them is the fucking look that he gives Brienne when they're sitting on horses together. And he has that stupid ass face where he's just like oogling over her. But then when he bumps into the Hound and they're like having that discussion about her, he's like the giant cunt. He's like, you have met her. Wherever the whole discussion goes, like, oh my God, I lost it at that.
So funny.
So freaking funny. Oh. But I will say one of my most memorable scenes from all of this when I'm trying to think back is the what are they called? The Sand Daughters. When they're trying to seduce Bronn in the jail cell. I don't know if you guys remember that scene.
Oh, yeah.
Oh my God. That scene is incredible.
Why? Why are you calling out that scene?
I'm just saying that you got to go back and watch it, and you're not going to find that shit on YouTube. Go back and watch it, and you'll go, yep, that was a fucking awesome scene.
I just like, Bronn's one of my favorite characters. I like whenever he's just always singing.
He's so like, good.
He's just always singing something.
Yeah. He's the only one who has a kukri, too. Fucking whipping ass with a kukri.
What's a kukri?
It's that kind of forward bent knife.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Ass whooped, by the way.
Well, yeah. I did ask Nicole the same question, and she brought up a really good point. So if you think about it, right, all of these really, really awesome scenes are all accompanied by amazing music, right? Mm-hmm. So the musical score in Game of Thrones is unlike, I mean, there's very few TV shows that really come close when it comes to, like, you know, music matching moments. I mean, you think about The Red Wedding, The Reigns of Castamere, that song. And then, like, that whole scene going into it is just, like, very, like, I was joking the other day. I was like, they could play that song throughout the entire show. It's just like, it's like very brooding. It's gloomy. And, you know, and she also is able to pick up every character's like theme. Like every character has their own kind of score that kind of plays whenever they're about to do something or, you know, whenever they're about to be shown on screen. And between those and like the battle scenes, the fight scenes, like one of her favorite overall, like the whole show moments is whenever Cersei blows up the septum. Mm-hmm. And that music starts playing before it actually happens. Oh, and the what's his face is crawling, trying to put the flame out. And then like they keep showing Cersei up in the tower and she's wearing that like all black, like the up to her neck dress. And like people are like yelling in the septum and the High Sparrow's there. And like, it's just like very chaotic, but then there's just like this daunting, haunting music playing behind. And then it explodes and everybody dies. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she's just standing up there, like looking over it. And it's just this very, like, without the music, it's still a, you know, a crazy scene, but then you add in this like amazing, like score and it just makes it, you know, a million times better.
So I think that rocks off the fucking mountain.
The music can't be overlooked when it comes to these like really, really awesome moments. We actually went to, see, and I think you guys remember we talked about it a little bit. We went to see the Game of Thrones live, like where they do this like amazing concert experience, right? You go and you watch the composer, and I'm gonna botch his name. His name's Ramin Djawadi.
Ramen noodles.
No, his name is like Ramin Djawadi, or Djawadi, I think is how it's pronounced. But sorry for botching your name. But he's the one that composed all the music for the show. And there's this, you know, they bring in this, the local orchestra and the symphony. And like, you have this incredible visual and audio experience where they play the scenes up on this giant screen. And then they're playing the music to some of the scenes live. And then they go through, you know, season by season, playing all these like amazing moments. And there's all these different instruments and there's just, you know, people, and it's a very well put together like production.
Yeah.
But it was so cool, like actually seeing the music live, but also experiencing it with, you know, thousands of other people, like watching the show together. It's like this giant watch party and you're watching all of the best moments, you know, like this big compilation, you know, it's this 2-hour compilation of the best moments of the show combined with all of the amazing soundtrack to it.
Yeah. I mean, it's so awesome. It's incredible. Like it's such a recognizable thing. I mean, you played what, 4 seconds of the clip at the beginning of the podcast, and it's everybody instantly is like, oh, I know exactly what that is. Like, it was such a good score. Yeah. Like, just incredible.
Yeah, it really was it is really a great intro.
Yeah, what I mean, that's the thing, like from the intro to the outro to the
everything, you know,
the music in between, it's just like, the music is just such a crucial part to any like super, super like amazing scene or moment or any of that. It's just really, really good. So definitely a huge shout out to the composer and just the music in general in the show.
100% agree.
For sure. So let's transition into some more controversial. So I wanted to bring up the very first thing that you thought that you mentioned, Luch, and that was when Ned dies.
Oh God.
The theory is that he also was a warg, right?
Mm-hmm.
And whenever he looks up and sees the eagle, he actually is surviving on through the eagle's body, right? Before he gets his head cut.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's going to show up again.
No.
No, you don't agree.
No.
Why so that's not? Like that's like saying what was the son at the Red Wedding?
Oh, you're talking about Rob.
Rob.
Yeah, Rob. So Rob's actually a warg too, and he warged into a rat that was running on the floor. But then the guards got hungry and so they ate the rat.
Maybe he did. Maybe he warged into his direwolf. Oh, he couldn't have because the direwolf got stabbed, and that's a part that I block out of my memory.
Right. Yeah.
I can't with that.
Wasn't
anyway,
one of the direwolves named Aurora?
Don't really? Don't do that to me. So you don't agree with that. You think that that's BS.
No, and if they did, I feel like that'd be retconning it so much. Ned Stark's death solidified what the story or how what the show would be like going forward. And then at the end they're like, "Oh,
I agree."
He just comes forth like Jesus, my son.
Oh.
You have finally realized your place in this world. I am actually the three-eyed raven.
I'm the three-eyed raven. Can I just also on a side note just say how annoying Brandon Stark is?
Oh my God, yeah.
Like it's come season 7 whenever he like survives, he's there and the girl's like trying to like she's like I got to leave, I got to get back to my family, and he's like okay. And she's like, "Wait. That's it? Like I just my brother died. I came across like the wild. I went over the wall. Like I brought you all the way here safely, and you just say okay." And he's like, "Yeah,
yeah, see ya."
See ya. She's like, what happened to you? He's like, what you know, where are you? And he's like, "Yeah, I'm not Brandon. I'm a three-eyed raven." You're just like, "Oh my God, shut up!" And then the first time he sees Sansa, he's like, "Hey, saw you get raped. You were pretty. You were beautiful that night." And she's like, "Wait, what?" And he's like, "Yeah, moon was out. It was a nice night." You're like, "What the hell? Why would you say that? What is wrong with you?"
He's like, "You don't know this, but I was in the corner. Invisible, of course, but, you know."
Like, why would that be the first
thing? Have you been working out lately? Seems like you've been losing weight.
Anyways. So no, I don't think that that's true either, because there's just way too many loopholes in that. Like, where's he been this whole time? Why wouldn't he like try to make himself known? Like,
let his whole family die.
Yeah,
and then if you do warg into a like an animal and your body's killed, like you just stuck in the animal. But like, wouldn't you just go and like pester somebody until that's you could like show like, them?
Especially like if you know they're walking into a trap, you'd be flying down like dive bombing on top of them, like smacking them something, you know that. Yeah,
like go get something that's like yours. Like, you know, you go get his skeleton head and just come drop it on somebody's plate. Hello, that's me. That's my head.
I mean, they use bird feathers to write notes. So, like, why would he not be able to like pluck out his own feather and write a note with his mouth or something?
I don't know. That'd be pretty funny. I'm not a fan of that one. What about all right? So we're gonna go back to Brandon because this is my favorite theory.
Which
and
is
it's not necessarily.
Yeah, I know what theory you're about to say.
Shut up, man. It's not necessarily one that I agree with, but I think it's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that Littlefinger didn't actually die. Ha. Oh. Ha, ha, tricked you.
God damn it. No, he did.
No. All right. So get this, right? So, and this is a theory that I actually can get behind.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that I hope isn't true because I can't stand him. I think he's been a snake the whole time and he needed to go along.
So
time
slimy.
Ago. I love it. So in season 7, I think it's like episode 4 or 5, he is seen in Winterfell like talking to somebody, giving them a coin, and he gives the girl a coin and she says, "Your time's up," or something like that. "You don't have any time left." And the theory is that one of that those coins was the same kind of coin that the faceless man Jaganagar gave Arya, right? So it was a coin of the faceless man. And the theory is that he is giving her the coin so that somebody can put on his face and take his place while he escapes.
Yeah.
Right? And so that the person that gets his throat slit isn't actually him. It's somebody that he paid to have there.
That's so you know you have a fucking badass storyline when that all that you just explained isn't out of the realm of possibilities. Like, it's right. Like, yeah, I could totally see something like that happening. Like, that's a freaking cool story. Because, yeah, I mean, whether or not that's going to be the case is going to be 100%. We're going to have to figure it out next season. Like, they didn't give us enough clues throughout what we saw to be able to really have a definite answer, I think, one way or another. So
the only argument I have with that is that Arya was the one that killed him, and I think she would know if it was a faceless man or not.
Why? That she definitely wouldn't be expecting him to know about that.
Yeah, but you would think that there would be signs that you could tell someone is a faceless man assassin.
I don't know. I mean, you saw whenever he, the whole time whenever he like got the note, right? Mm-hmm. He got that note from the maester and then he like put it in the mattress and she finds it. Like he was watching her the whole time. Like, so he knows that she found the note, right? And then he's trying to like stir things up, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And then she ends up, they end up like supposedly so-called surprising him. And then...
Well, yeah.
Gets killed. I mean, I just think that he's been shrewd the whole time. Like he's always known that things were happening, right? So like he, you know, what makes this one any different?
Yeah,
I really think he did die because I don't think he suspected Arya coming back unless one of the faceless men told him. But then again, you know, at the end, the faceless men showed us some respect towards Arya.
Yeah.
At the end.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like. When you have a character that's like him, that his everything that he's done up to this point is being one step ahead of everybody and kind of lurking in the shadows, playing this person against this person, to be caught off guard as bad as he was does throw up some red flags that can make a storyline or a twist like that believable. If it turns out that he's dead, we're probably going to forget about it by the time we're watching the episodes and it's just his name's never brought up again. He's just done. But if he does pop back up, it'd be like, that makes sense. Like I think they left room for that.
Whether he's alive or dead, I don't think he'll be coming back. I think if they did do that and they put that in purposely to make it seem that way, then it's a great open-ended way as to if he's alive or dead or not.
I can see that as well.
Yeah, we'll see.
Now, one of the things though is, you know, with Littlefinger, I forget, does the mask change your voice and the way your body looks or just your face?
It definitely changes voice.
Does it change your voice? Because it didn't change Arya's voice and it didn't change...
It changed Jaqen's voice.
I think he was a talented assassin who could change his voice at will. I don't think the mask actually gives you the power to change your voice. And I know it doesn't change the way your body's shaped either. Because Arya had to pretend to be a little girl in order to assassinate that one guy. She couldn't be like a guard or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, unless you have the body, like a very slender body, I don't think a man could like pretend to be a woman like wholeheartedly. I think it only changes your face. But then again, the mask is kind of weird. I don't know if you guys notice. It's not like a, you know, like a rubber mask. It's this kind of like ghastly like thing they like pull off. Yeah. I don't know if you guys notice that. It's kind of like very silky looking and they're able to just slap it on the face. Which one of my favorite things about Game of Thrones is it's in this fantasy setting and you think that, you know, in a fantasy setting they'd have an overwhelming amount of magic. Magic in that show is very subtle.
Yes.
And I like that. I mean, you know, it wasn't subtle with the fucking shadow baby. That thing was just, you know, some of the warlocks. That thing was coming out weird. Like there's no tomorrow. But magic's very subtle in there, but it shows that there is, you know, magic in that world. So I don't know.
Yeah, that was just, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not 100% that it's real. I just think it's very possible. But speaking of Arya and the Faceless Men, though, there's also another theory that Arya is already dead, and that the person that is playing Arya is another faceless person, as in the waif.
Her?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah, I mean, with that one, my main reason against that one is it seems like anyone that had something against Arya, especially like as far as the people that were trying to kill her and stuff like that, they have no agenda outside of killing her. Well, it wasn't like they're going to go kill her and then like, oh, now that I got her, I'm going to go kill her whole family, or I'm going to go disrupt this war, or I'm going to go up to the wall. Like, they have no reason to do anything past killing Arya. Like, at least I don't think so. I'm probably the least knowledgeable out of us three on how all that stuff goes. So I don't know.
I think, I mean, one of the biggest things against that one is the fact that in the very next season after she leaves there, she goes and kills the Freys.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if that was the waif, why would she go do that?
Yeah.
Well, also, I don't think you can wear two masks at once. I don't think you can wear two masks at once. So if the wife is wearing Arya's mask,
and then another mask on top of that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they can wear two masks at the same time. Because if it is a type of magic, I think that would be
OP. Yeah, like I said, I'm not 100%. I don't really follow that one for sure.
No. And probably the biggest thing to go away from that is there's actually a scene of Arya getting her sight back. Remember, she's like blind. She closes her eyes and opens them up again, and then she's not blind anymore.
Oh yeah.
So that's also.
Yeah. I mean, that could, in theory though, that could be just the waif putting on her mask, her face. Yeah.
Well, that wasn't really putting on her face. That was just.
I mean, I'm just saying that the way that they filmed it, that's the way it could be. But anyways, I don't think that one's.
And the waif was the master of the quarterstaff, where Arya is a master of the rapier, and she whoops ass with that rapier.
True. All right. Now, one of the more important ones, not really fan theory, but kind of prediction, right? We'll get back to it. I have another couple theories to talk about, but prediction wise, right? So Cersei, right? So yes. Are you guys familiar with the prophecy?
Mm-hmm. That she's going to die by the hand of her younger brother?
Yeah. So So it says, six and 10 for him and 3 for you. Gold shall be their crowns and gold their shrouds. And when your tears have drowned you, the Valonqar, which is Valyrian for brother, little brother, shall wrap his hands around your pale white throat and choke the life from you. So that's the prophecy that was spoken to Cersei, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which brother do you think it's going to be?
It's got to be Jaime. Like, I feel like Tyrion's so kind of removed from everything at this point. And even if he was in the same room with Cersei, he seems to pity her almost more than he hates her. And I feel like if she were to die at the hands of someone like Jaime, you could really imagine Jaime crying as he's choking her because she's gone mad, like the Mad King kind of situation.
Yeah.
You know, that's something I can 100% picture. That if it's something else and you have Tyrion standing on her chest with his little hands around her throat, like, I can't picture that as well.
So I think Arya is going to kill her, masked as Jaime.
Ooh.
I think Jaime's going to die. He's going to get a face. He's going to get Jaime's face. She's going to get Jaime's face, put it on, and then assassinate her.
I don't think so. I think that this is a pretty literal prophecy. I think that Jaime's already started the transition between, like, you're a crazy person. Like, we have more important things to worry about.
Obviously, he ran away. He realized he was a crazy bitch.
Yeah. That's one of,
I think that one of the best character arcs throughout this whole thing has been Jaime.
Yeah, definitely Jaime. Yeah, for sure.
I'd say season one, he was up there on the hated list with Joffrey, you know? I mean, you watched him bang his sister and push a child out a window just because. Like, he didn't, like, I mean, it was that he didn't care at all that he just shoved a child off a building, you know, to now at this point. Like, I love him. I think he is a awesome character. He's someone I haven't mentioned so far, but no, he is an incredible character. So cool. Mm-hmm. The way he's freaking fighting the dragons, like,
yeah,
he's awesome as hell.
Stupid.
Stupid, but awesome. He's stupid moron.
Yeah.
Why can't he be more like Ron? Ron was like, I ain't fighting those things. I'm running away.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
I love how honorless Ron is.
He doesn't give it. He literally does not care.
Yeah.
Best fight scene is him against that one knight of the Vale. He kicks him out through the moon door. I'll fight for you. Boom.
Yeah.
He's like, no, it makes
Bron
me for
king. Bron for king.
Bron for king for sure. 100%. Put him on the throne.
I love how he's like
beer and wenches for everybody.
I'm a simple man, simple needs. Give me a castle and a fine woman, and I'll be happy. And that's what he got. And he was happy until someone ruined his life by taking him somewhere.
Yeah, right?
Oh, wait, didn't he get annoyed with his wife or something?
He hated her or whatever. Or he didn't hate her. She was just really annoying. Like, she was like really clingy or something, right?
It was a good scene also with Bron training Jaime again.
Oh, yeah.
I like that. I like that they bonded. I really hope the three of them become a squad.
Bron, Jaime, and
Tyrion.
Oh yeah. I think it will be Jaime. I don't think it will be Tyrion. I think it'll be Jaime. I think he's gonna have to come back when they're either taking back, you know, the capital or whatever, or something. It's something like that. And he's gonna have to like try to plead with her, and then she's gonna be crazy and he's gonna kill her.
If it is Jaime, what's gonna happen is they're gonna be invading the castle, you know, people are gonna be fighting all over the place, and all of a sudden it's gonna go into slow motion. You're gonna see Jaime with his helmet in his hand walking down the corridor. People are fighting each other, kicking each other out of windows. You'll see a burning corpse somewhere. Then he walks into her room and she's, you know, talking, and then he'll walk up to her and kiss her. It'll be a romantic kiss, and then all of a sudden his hands will wrap around her neck and he'll choke her to death.
Is that while they're banging though? Is it like,
what? By the way, I'm from the future, and that's exactly what happens.
So there's another quote by the lady that did the prophecy, right? And she says, you know, queen you shall be until there comes another younger and more beautiful to cast you down and take all that you hold dear. Who is she talking about?
Bron.
Yes. Bron 2019.
You know, hold on one second. Before we answer that question, I just want to say the only Lannister who didn't deserve to die was like the daughter.
Oh, Tommen too.
I mean, Tommen was weak.
Tommen was weak. The only thing he did wrong was not be a king. And
I mean, Margaery played him like a fiddle, but Margaery was awesome.
Yeah.
Margaery would have been a great queen.
There's just no reason for him to not get his wife out of prison.
Yeah, he was an idiot.
Like, yeah.
He was too much of a mama's boy.
But he didn't deserve to die for that.
Yeah. I mean, but the daughter just, like, had no, like, nothing to do with the story.
Marcella?
Like, yeah.
She died because she shouldn't be named after pasta, okay? That's the issue.
Chicken Marsala.
Yeah, she was Marsala.
That's not pasta, bro. I'm Italian,
there's
please.
There's pasta in that.
Fuck are you?
There's pasta and chicken marsala.
Marsala is chicken, you know, with mushrooms, and then you got
got noodles.
Educated sluts
on marsala.
Yeah, huh?
Oh my
God,
you're talking
about
anytime I've ever eaten.
eaten chicken marsala, it's had noodles with it. It's been pasta.
All right, we'll go back to the only kind of Italian food you know from Chef Boyardee, okay? go back to what you know.
Whatever, man.
All right, so what
I bet you think chicken parmesan's Italian.
Before we continue on with the fan theories,
are you going to answer my question? Who's it going to be?
What? Yeah, oh, shit, I forgot that we were going to talk about that. I got stuck on chicken.
Yeah, we're talking about marsala and shit.
So, I mean, what? Our choices were basically looking at Daenerys. We're looking at Sansa.
Sansa, yeah.
And oh, God, please no. Please no.
Dear Lord. It would make the most sense, to be honest.
I mean, like, well, Daenerys would make the mostest sense.
No, it wouldn't. No,
she died. She gonna die.
No, she's not living to that point.
That's the thing. Like, looking at it right now, going like, she's the baddest bee in all the land. Like, no one holds a candle to her at this
point. The reason why I don't think it's her is because she's not actually the rightful heir to the throne. Like, as soon as everybody figures out that Jon Snow is an actual Targaryen and not a Stark, like, he's the heir. He's the dude.
But if we're talking about like lady,
try to kill him too.
Or did you not say lady? You just said beautiful person. I don't know.
No, it's younger and more beautiful.
Then yeah, I guess we.
I think it's referring to a woman because it says, "And queen you shall be until there comes another."
Yeah, so we wouldn't think Queen John Stark. John Targaryen. Yeah, I mean, like I said, just off the bat, Daenerys, like I said, is the baddest one. Like, if right now, if you were like, okay, Sansa and Cersei had to fight their armies to the death, or they have to fight to the death, you would think Cersei's going to win all day long. Like, Sansa just hasn't reached that pinnacle point of being able to rule the Seven Kingdoms. Where Daenerys, you could easily picture her sitting on that throne at this very second.
But she's a bit tyrannical.
Yeah, but you could still picture that. And she doesn't see
the word of her council as much as she should.
She's stubborn.
She's super stubborn. I'm just saying, I could picture her the Queen of Seven Kingdoms more than I could Sansa at this point.
Sure.
I don't think Jon will be king. I think he'll be offered it, but he decides to take the North. I think that's.
I don't think there's going to be a North. But anyways, Josh, what were you saying?
Well, what I was going to say is, what's the one thing that you've been waiting for the past 8 seasons? What's something that you have to see within the next 6 episodes? These last 6 episodes, that if you don't get them, that you're going to be kind of bummed out. Is there a question you want answered? Is there some scene you want to see? Is there what?
Yeah, I want to see the Night King actually, like, I want to see him and the army, the dragon. I want to see the battle. I want to see the battle between the living and the dead.
Yeah.
Like, and I hope that it's a drawn out, like, it's a, you know, and not over in 2 seconds. I hope that the dragons have to fight each other. The other brothers have to fight the undead one. Like,
by the way, the entire war could have been stopped if they just didn't go out into the, go fight the Night King.
What, in the first place?
Yeah, they couldn't have gone through the wall.
The dragon definitely helped. I don't know if that would have completely.
No, because they retconned the Horn of Winter. Originally, the Night King has a special horn that he got because he is the first Night Watch captain, Jack. Okay, who has a thing called the Horn of Winter, which when played, it knocks down the entire wall.
That's a handy dandy little item.
Yeah. Well, his lover was also kind of broken. Yeah, his lover was also the Ice Witch from the Chronicles of Narnia. So
okay. Well, that seems like a broken item to have in the realm. So I don't know why they made that.
Hey, I'm just saying. And Longclaw's supposed to talk, but you don't see it talking, do you?
No.
Well, anyways,
that's what I'd like.
The dragons better fight each other.
Yeah.
I really hope when they CGI the dragon, I want it to look a bit more like zombie-ish. you know, more Wraith-like.
I think maybe it hasn't gotten to that point yet because it was fresh dead. I mean, it had been dead like 2 minutes.
I do want to see the Night King go on like a mass murdering spree without the dragon. Like, I want him to like superhero land into the middle of the army and like just Thor. Like literally Bruce Lee, like with his staff. Just
I don't think it would make that noise though. But
yeah, you know what I mean. A couple things I want to see. I would love to see the a lot of the people that we've met throughout the show come to the aid of them. Like, I would love to see the Faceless come to Arya's aid. I would love to see Jakar just show up. I want to see Sirio Florel make an appearance. I want to see him front flip and save Arya and just go sword fighting. I would love to see that. I would be super happy if I saw that.
Yes.
Because I don't think he died. I don't think he got his ass handed to him by that idiot. You know who I'm talking about, right? Arya's swordmaster from like, the first
season. Sirio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, and what made me think about it was the Clegane Bowl, the fight between the Mountain and the Hound. That is something that I've been, I mean, what? They've been hyping that possible fight
but like,
since forever.
But, like, I mean, the thing about the Mountain is he's too overpowered now. Like, he was pretty powerful before, but now he's an undead monstrosity.
Yes. And the
now instead of crushing a man's head with both hands, he can crush a man's head with one hand.
I agree. And I think it's going to be an awesome brother showdown. Like, it's something that...
You know what would make it fair?
What?
That I just thought about? What if the Hound gains the powers of the Brotherhood guy? He becomes the new chosen one.
Hmm.
You know the guy with the flaming sword?
Yeah. What was his name? Beric Dondarrion.
What's it called? Fire sword of the something?
Oh, yeah.
Like, what if the Hound pulls out a sword and it goes into fire and he can't die? That would be a fair fight against the Mountain.
It would be so freaking epic.
I would love to see like the Mountain crush the Hound's head. And then you just see it, like, regenerate.
I just think, like, the Mountain, of course, has been a freaking awesome character that has been used just here and there. Every scene, though, when he walks by and slams a person into a wall and just pops their head like a grape, it's incredible. Every time I get giddy and giggle like a little girl.
Yeah, but
it's
the only
so
thing
awesome.
About... That's the only thing of Cersei's power, though, is she has control of the Mountain.
Yeah.
Like, without the Mountain, she would literally have, you know, an okay army.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could get to that point in the season where people are fighting and stuff like that. You got armies fighting armies, but then you have the Mountain and you have the Hound meet each other on the battlefield. Or, like, that's something that I've been excited and hyped about since, I don't know, the season that I found out they were brothers. Like, I'm really, really looking forward to
it. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. 100%.
As long as I get that, I'm happy.
Yeah, 100%. That's going to be dope. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I really wanted to see.
Well,
I mean, there's obviously a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was a couple theories that I think we probably discussed, you know, off podcast and everything last year was just the fact, like, it hasn't been confirmed that Tyrion's a Targaryen yet, right?
Are you talking about Jon Snow?
No, Tyrion.
Tyrion?
Yeah.
No, he's a Lannister.
There's lots of theories of him being a Targaryen. Because of him... Oh, I'd have to look it up. It would take
he killed his mother whenever he was born.
Yes, but his father may not have been his father, and that's why there's always been like this kind of shit with him. If I don't know, we'd have to like pause the podcast, go watch like 30 minutes of YouTube videos and stuff like that. But no, I thought that you knew about that when I had heard that one before.
No.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to look that up tonight. And if anyone else isn't familiar with that one was one that really got me hyped. I mean, because basically they talked about the three dragons and the three Targaryens riding on the dragons. The Targaryens basically being Daenerys, Jon, and who was the third? And all the signs were basically pointing to Tyrion. Now, things have, of course, changed because there's only two dragons other than the undead one. So that kind of makes things up a little bit. What about anything with Bran basically starting everything? Like, all this kind of came in motion because of him time hopping and jumping places and stuff like that, and seeing the Night King and, you know, making different people.
The Night King would have invaded regardless. Bran didn't start that.
No, see, here's the thing is that I think that there might be some truth to some of this. We'll see. But so the theory is that, you know, whenever Brandon went back in time, you know, through his visions or whatever, that he actually messed up some of the things. Like, so obviously we saw one where he literally causes Hodor to like go insane.
Turn insane. Hodor,
like messes up his head, right? So then there's another theory that, like, whenever he went back to warn the Mad King about the White Walkers and about like the oncoming war, that he like messed up the Mad King, and the only thing that the Mad King could get out of it was burn them all, when he was like trying to tell him like you can only kill them with fire. And so that's like, and he like messed up his head, and so then he just the mad king actually became mad and just, you know, died screaming burn them all, kind of like Hodor only being able to say Hodor, you know. Mm-hmm. Which is a little crazy to think about, because, you know, that actually makes sense, to burn them all. Like, you can only kill them by, with, you know, with fire or with dragon glass, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. And then also another one is
the Night King can't die by fire. The White Walkers can't die by fire. They can only be killed by using their own weapons or dragon glass or
Valyrian steel.
Valyrian steel against them. The Wraiths can die by fire.
Yeah.
But not the White Walkers. White Walkers are pure.
But you keep them from turning into White Walkers by burning their bodies, the bodies of the dead.
Yeah, but again, the only way, well, the White Walkers become White Walkers from babies.
Right, but the undead people, right? They're coming back.
Yeah, those are just Wraith, though. Those aren't White Walkers.
Okay, either way.
Because the Wraiths are just the zombies that glow with the White Walkers' eyes. The White Walkers can turn them into zombies by touching them with their with their magical spear things. Also, by the way, love how in the second season, when you see a White Walker, it's like naked, and then now they're fully armored.
Fully armored, swords, things like that.
Yeah, right.
also,
not to mention the zombie horse.
Also, and the one of the ones that I think is, like, you know, kind of possible, and you keep shooting it down, is that whenever, you know, you were like, oh, well, the Night King is the first ranger, or the like watcher.
Well,
that's
what it was in the books. I don't think that's right. What it is right now.
Right. So, well, in the books, he's the first ranger or white, you know, watcher on the wall, yada, yada. The theory is that whenever Bran goes back to try to stop the kids, the children of the forest, from hitting him with the dragon glass and turning him into the White Walker, that's actually what, like, ended up causing it. Is because he, like, goes back and he's seeing through that guy's eyes. So it's not so much that, like, he is the Night King, but, like, that he caused the Night King.
Yeah.
To become a
thing. Yeah, because, like, the only thing I can say against that is, like, literally, I've been trying to tell you guys this, is that it even states that, you know, canon, you'll see the children of the forest turning some guy into the Night King. Like, the Night King is the first White Walker that was created, and the White Walkers were created by the children of the forest to combat the human invaders.
Right, and that's the idea, is that it's... He went back to try to, like, stop them, to warn them, and it actually caused them to, like, to do it.
Yeah. I mean, again, that is definitely possible. The only thing I'm trying to state is that Bran is not the Night King.
Not the Night King himself.
He could have caused it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, but again, Bran really isn't Bran anymore. He's now, you know, whatever the fuck you want
another
to call him.
Three-eyed Raven.
So the Three-Eyed Raven could have caused all that. And maybe, you know, the Three-Eyed Raven is a neutral player, meaning that he's not good or bad, but he needs to make sure that the flow of time happens.
Yeah.
So maybe the Night King needed to happen, and the Three-Eyed Raven made sure that it did happen.
Next week on the Bonus Level Podcast, time travel and how it makes no effing sense.
Because, you know, like again, maybe Bran's job is, like, you know, to make sure that time is always...
time marches sure forward.
I don't know why. Yeah. I've always... I like that kind of thing, though, where someone... They're so obsessed with making sure that something happens one way that they end up making it go the complete opposite way. Like, you know, Bran's so, you know, obsessed with learning about the Three-Eyed Raven and hopping back in time and figuring out why all this stuff is happening that he's, excuse me, is he's actually the reason that all the puzzle pieces fall in place, that everything starts off that way, is because of the path that he's taken and everything. Where, you know, we're sitting here the whole time thinking that he's doing something, like that he's growing to become this thing to help fight it. But I mean, we're already seeing pieces of the puzzle that he's messed up, specifically being Hodor, that, you know, I mean, to me, it's definitely entirely possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the evidence is more to the fact that he's, like, messed up.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, you know, who are you, Brandon? And or whatever. I don't remember the exact line. And he's like, not anymore. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm the Three-Eyed Raven. You're like, dude, shut up. Stop. You're so weird. Stop being a weirdo.
Yeah.
Hello, Sansa. I saw you get raped.
Oh, Jesus. Have you guys ever taken a look at, this is kind of weird, but have you guys ever taken a look at the Night King's stats and what kind of powers he has?
No, because they don't give us that information in the show. And if we don't get that information in the show, we shouldn't know that.
Well, just check this out. So the Night King has the ability to mark someone. Once he marks someone, he knows where that person is, and there's no magical boundary can stop him from pursuing that person who is marked. This was proven when he marked Bran and was able to follow him to the cave during the Battle of the Three-Eyed Raven. He's able to control minor fissures in the ground and can cause minor earthquakes. And he's also able to sense whenever a warg is around. He can determine what animals are wargs or not.
Yeah, which is why he looked up at the ravens in that vision. And they all
scattered. And not only can fire not kill him, but he's completely immune to fire.
He's okay, well, that's like a badass. I want that's to, like you said, he needs contrary. To drop in like Thor does in freaking Infinity War and just start.
Hold on, Jack. I'm also seeing that he's challenge rating 8. His armor class is 26.
So I need to drop him in our campaign. Got it.
Dude, he's fucking overpowered, man. Also, have you noticed he's the only White Walker without hair?
He has hair. It's just frozen.
Those are spikes, bro.
Yeah,
it's Darth Maul.
He's just frozen.
Darth Maul.
He's frozen in... His hair is frozen in spikes. He's got the everlasting Axe body spray in his hair.
He could throw a jab.
You know what,
like,
I'm actually really curious about, though, is, like, what armor are they wearing? Because I feel like that would be a big hint as to, like, who they are or where they came from.
They're wearing, like... Oh, he's wearing, like, you know, like
he's
a
wearing, like, full chainmail. Well, he's got, like, this kind of chainmail armor on.
Yeah, he's wearing, like, the armor that, like, Jon Snow wears.
No, this thing looks more like... it kind of looks more oriental in style. Like, it's kind of got that, like, samurai look to it.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
And it's then it's got this logo crest on there.
It's the Nightwatch armor.
Yeah. I don't know. Take a look at the picture. I don't think it is.
Pretty sure.
It's definitely different. Yeah, take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely has its own style to it, and I've never seen a Night Watch person wear that. And the other White Walkers wear it too.
Yeah, I don't know.
He looks badass, though, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I just have to commend the show. Like, any show that has watch parties, I will say kudos to you. You've done a good job creating your show. If you've got it to the point where people want to be together with other people watching it. That's a really, really awesome thing. Like, we used to have watch parties for it. Right now, I don't think I have anyone here around that is going to watch it with me. So you guys are going to have to hook me up on the webcam and we're going to have fun. But super freaking pumped, man. It's been how long? A year and a half?
Oh, yeah.
Jesus.
A long time. Now we're here we are.
I know. And then once this hits, we have how many more days till endgame?
12 after that.
Mm-hmm. You want to come down for that?
I wish.
Right.
So do you think just the Night King literally has no purpose other than to just wipe humanity off the face of the planet?
Yes, I think that he's just trying to he's trying to rule. He's trying to go sit on that ice throne.
I think that in kind of a way that the children of the forest were programmers and they programmed him to literally do what they wanted him to do. And that was to kill the first men or the humans that invaded their homeland. And they didn't add a safety word or button.
Stop.
And and he's just literally off. His only goal is to just massacre everyone. And then when he does massacre everyone, he'll sit down on that throne and won't move. He'll just stay there forever.
Really cool.
Yeah, I think that, all right. So now for the final boss, the prediction of who will sit on the throne at the end of the show.
Oh, by the way, the Night King is 10,000 years old.
Yeah, it makes sense.
In case you didn't know.
A little bit older than me.
Oh, and apparently he had two different actors.
Yeah, that doesn't mean anything. He's all under makeup anyway.
No, I was just curious. I mean, I don't know why they got rid of the first one, though.
He wasn't sucked. Cold enough.
Yeah.
Vladimir Ferdik.
All right. So,
but yeah, so final
who's gonna sit on the
throne?
Tyrion.
I think if they listen to what fans want, it would be Tyrion.
No, I think the fans are rooting for Jon or Daenerys. I mean, Tyrion definitely maybe for the right hand. He is the perfect right hand.
Yeah.
There's no one better suited to be the right hand.
Yeah.
But I think Jon will focus on rebuilding his home. I'm pretty sure the North will be massacred. If it's not massacred by, the Golden Army, it'd be massacred by the Undead Army. It's going to get sandwiched in between some.
It's not going to get massacred by the Golden Army. The Golden Army is going north with Jaime to help fight.
No, the Golden Army's with Reek's brother or cousin.
The Golden Army? Oh, with...
The Golden Army's on Cersei's side.
With Euron. Yeah, that's right.
I really want to see what they look like, by the way. I saw a glimpse of them. They look pretty badass.
They're going to get wiped out by the dragons.
Well, what I'm hoping is that the Golden Army will realize what they're up against and join Jon and them. Yeah. I think Cersei's going to die before the Night King is destroyed.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be any fake alliances. I don't want none of that bullshit. I want Cersei to get obliterated before the Night King shows up.
Yeah.
And if the Golden Army's smart, the Golden Army's going to protect them. And I hope they don't think we got this huge, massive river between our continents. we can protect ourselves. Creates a gigantic ice bridge of death. He creates a bridge with the corpses and walks over them. Not to mention he flies.
All right. So final predictions. Come on. What do you got? Who's your guy? You got to pick one or girl.
Who I want would be the,
didn't say who you want. I asked, I said, who do you think?
Well, I'm going to give you both because you can't mute me.
Well, so, gosh, you have to be fucking sassy about it.
No. I want the Night King to be the final one. I think, based on everything that I've seen so far, that it would be John. Is what I think it's going to be. So we'll see later.
What I would like.
No, just who you think it is.
Oh, no, Josh. No, Josh. No.
I'm going to give you both. What I would like both. Is the Night King. I think that would be awesome if the show just ended on a sour note. Everybody dies at the world of ice. Winter has come. It's just over, you know?
I will say that's the best way.
Undead.
That's the best way for it to set itself up with another, like, thing to go along with it.
No, it's over. There is no coming back. Everybody
it's over.
Everybody is a White Walker and or an undead.
Well, again, the only thing that they could do undead. is escape to Esteros. Wait, or is it Westeros?
No,
they ain't Westeros. So the only thing that they could do is escape to Esteros and then plan a revolt against him during that time.
Yeah, no.
Because the Night King can't conquer Esteros at the same time.
I think I want the White King to sit on the throne, everything to be dead, everything to be iced over. That's the show. They wrap it. It's over. And it's just a heavy conclusion.
Yeah. Would he take an Ice Queen?
What I think is going to happen is that Daenerys and Jon are both going to die. Cersei's dead. Jaime's gone. Tyrion's maybe left. But Tyrion's going to be the hand of Sansa. And Sansa is going to be the one that's going to take everything from...
Dear God, I hope not.
Cersei, and she's going to sit on the throne.
It's highly probable.
Dear God, I hope not.
Nobody's going to see it coming, except for me, because I just called it.
So what I want to happen is Olenna gets resurrected by the Night King.
Tell the Night King. I want him to know.
No, I think what's going to happen is I think it's actually going to be more of a fairy tale ending. I don't know why I'm getting the kind of vibes. I don't think Jon and Daenerys will end up together. I think they'll still be lovers, but I think Jon will try to rebuild the North from what happened. Daenerys will take over the throne, and then Tyrion will be her right hand.
Yeah.
Is it just from, like, you know, the senses, but they did have that love scene between Jon and Daenerys at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and she's going to find out that he's, you know, her cousin or uncle or niece or no.
And then she's going to be disgusted with her because she feels like she's just like Cersei.
She's his aunt. And yeah, it's going to be real weird.
Do you guys, real quick though, do you guys think Tyrion loves Daenerys?
No, not in that
you
way.
Don't? It was just kind of a weird face he was giving at the end.
No, I don't think he loves her like
that. He's one of the few women he hasn't banged yet. So it's probably just that.
You don't think so? Okay. But what I want to happen is Jon to be king. I don't want Daenerys to die, but it would make sense for her to.
Yeah.
And then I would like Arya to lead a secret spy organization.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's so many cool roles or lives that these people can lead without being the kings or whatever. That
Shit, I forgot about Sam.
What about him?
I want Sam to become the new Maester of Maesters.
The Maester inside King's
Landing. Do you think he'll die? What do you guys think? Do you think he'll die?
Sam? Nah.
No.
You think Sam
only if the Night King takes over and everybody dies.
Oh, Sam for king. Sam's going to king.
Everybody. The storyline would have something big. Like, they seem to be building to something, like, or teasing that something's going to happen from what he's doing and what he's researching. But really, it's like, it seemed like there were 4 or 5 episodes that he was trying to research, and we're like, all right, yeah, we know you're going to find out about the Valyrian Steel or the Dragon Ice or whatever that you have to get to Jon. Like, hurry up and find it so we can move on, because why do we have to keep watching scenes of you looking through books? Like, we know what's going to happen there. So,
yeah,
I don't know. Something needs to pick up with him, or they just need to, like...
I think the only thing that's going to happen there is that he's going to figure out fully that, you know, and tell everybody that Jon's a Targaryen, you know, and is the rightful heir to the throne.
But I think that would happen sooner rather than later.
I hope. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I hope.
Because you can't interrupt the battle with drama. I really hope that there's just one or two episodes of designated battle.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Like, I want...
I mean, there's only six episodes, right, left, and it's just like, oh, man, how do you wrap all this up in six episodes?
I don't hear one Wilhelm scream, you know, ah, or one, my leg, I'm going to be, you know, it's going to be upsetting. Now, real quick, do you think Baratheon's dead?
Who? Which one?
The one that used the Red Lady. With the shadow babies.
Oh, Daenerys? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do you think he's dead? Yeah, do you think Brienne killed him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you think so?
What about with... we haven't mentioned Gendry at all.
Gendry, yeah. He's a Baratheon.
The bastard one.
Well, I think Gendry, what I would like to see is... I forget what that Baratheon's name is. I would like to see him come...
You're talking about Stannis.
Stannis, yeah. Stannis.
He's dead. He's dead for sure.
You sure? You think?
100%. Yeah.
I mean, he was a piece of shit. With his daughter on fire.
His daughter, that was ridiculous.
Yeah, he's dead. Brienne didn't show him any mercy. He's gone.
What do you think will happen to the Red Lady?
She's going to come back and die at some point too.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, creepiest scene was when she was that hag.
Oh yeah.
So hot.
Oh yeah.
Let me see that hag body again.
Mm-hmm. Total MILF.
Oh my god,
it's a gilf, man.
Oh yeah,
gilf. I guess she would be a MILF, you know. She's got weird shadow babies running around. Oh, I would like to see them return, kind of. I would love to see them fight like some race.
That'd I don't know. We only have so much time. It's like,
I know.
It's like I have to pick only a few things that I would like to see. I want to see this, this, and this. Give me those. I'll be satisfied. Because yeah, I would like to see the show go on for longer. Like. I mean, I have Westworld to replace it with, but even that is different than it.
Last question. You know. Last question.
Yeah.
Who, between two people, who do you want to see fight?
Like the Hound in the Mountain.
Yeah. That's my main thing.
Yeah. The Hound in the Mountain and or, you know, who else is bad? The Night King and Jon, you know. That's really it.
I'm trying to think who I want to see Arya to fight, but I swear to God, she'll kill anybody she fights.
There's not really any like bad people, like, you know what I mean, left. I mean, Arya can kill Euron, maybe.
Ooh, that would be a good fight. That guy's an asshole.
He's fucking badass, though.
He looks like the lead singer of Imagine Dragons, and I can't see him as anything
else. Oh my god. I really wish you didn't tell me that.
Just now, when you see him, that's all you're gonna think of. And it's just
the lead singer of Imagine
Dragons. He literally does. Look up the lead singer of Imagine Dragons and give him mutton chops. Hang and on. That's that guy.
Oh no.
Hang on. All right. I swear to God, Jack.
Uncanny. It's literally uncanny.
Oh my god, I hate you.
It looks just like him. And every time I see him, I just want to be like,
you're a natural.
Oh, my God. I hate you so much right now. Oh, my God.
Doesn't it look just like him?
He's going to He's going to hop off the ship and be like, radioactive.
Oh, my God. Wow, that is really weird. I will say though, we needed a character like Euron Greyjoy on Cersei's side, though.
Yeah,
he plays a really good pirate.
Yes, friggin' badass, very cool character.
Anyways, now that everyone has in their heads that the lead singer of Imagine Dragons is playing Euron Greyjoy,
I think we know who the final boss is.
You're welcome for that.
Still the Night King. He's too cool.
Night King is amazing. And hopefully he will wipe everybody out. And with that being said, I hope that everybody is looking forward to episode 1 of season 8 of Game of Thrones. And hit us up on social media for discussions based on the episodes as they air. And we'll definitely be chatting about it. We are super excited. So much so that we had to do a whole episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And that's all we got. I'm excited. Let's see. Go Night King. Hopefully he wipes everybody.
Go Night King. Go Lich King.
Hashtag Go Night King. Anyways, from all of us at the Bonus Level Podcast, I hope you have a great week and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, later, taters.
Till next week.